Okay, come in, take a seat, please. Sheet 52. We move forward. Ma hapsak legabi poskot, which in English I suppose you could translate as, what do the poskim say about poskot? There's a few introductory remarks I need to make with this. First of all, I'm not really here talking about women rabbis. Women rabbis is a whole different conversation, because in our modern world, the title rabbi means much more than a posek. A rabbi is a communal leader. A rabbi is someone who drives the community, very public figure. There may be different angles, we'll touch them at the end when we talk about women as communal leaders, but there may be different angles about whether women should fulfill that role or not. The rabbi is now many, many things. If you break down what the rabbi is in today's world, so you'll have like 15 different things that the rabbi does, some of which a woman clearly already do, some of which a woman could do, some of which women couldn't do halakhically. So that's a different discussion, but the title rabbi is more than the whole is more than the sum of the individual parts. I really want to focus today on the specific issue of psak, because this is a really hot contemporary issue. There really aren't people pushing in the mainstream Orthodox world today to make women rabbis, I don't think. There was a hoo-ha about 5 years ago where Rav Avi Weiss in Riverdale wanted to create this sort of Maharat, Rabbah, this whole thing with Sarah Hurwitz, which was, and there was a very significant negative reaction from other parts of the centrist Orthodox world. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Rabbi Avi Weiss, who is a very significant figure, although the yeshiva is a slightly separate venture. There is a connection, obviously, between the yeshiva and Maharat and Chovei Torah. But this got a very negative reaction from YU, got a very negative reaction from the centrist modern Orthodox world, that this is unacceptable. And therefore they withdrew and pulled back. But what's happening alongside this is a separate but related thing. I don't have another sheet. Can you sit next to someone who has a sheet? And then you can look over there. Look over the shot. Esther will share with you, I'm sure. What's happening side by side to this is the issue of women poskim. Meaning, we have trained now, by 2015, a significant number of women who are highly educated in halacha. There is already a program of women yoetzot halacha, where women give advice, give halachic guidance on areas of halacha, which really may not even be psak, like we said last time, because they're pretty standard issues, usually in Tarat Mishpacha. And that program, although it's somewhat controversial in some parts of the world, is pretty accepted in most parts of the Orthodox world. What about just extending that somewhat, so these women are actually not just Yotzat Halacha, but actually can give Psak Halacha on areas in which they've been highly trained? In other words, where do women go when you've trained them in Jewish thinking and thought, Hashkafa, Halacha, etc., to such a point? Where do they take that? Do they have to marry a man who's a rabbi in order to realize the potential that they have? Or can they, in their own right, become senior halachic figures within the community? And again, I don't think this is the same question as women rabbis, and I think that there's going to be movement on this area. I don't know, this is my personal speculation. I think this area will move forward with tacit approval from the world, because it's not trying to make something, you know, big and public. You know what they say about the Meshech Chochma says about the Luchos. The first Luchos were given with great pomp and circumstance and chauffeurs and thunder and lightning and a whole big public display, and they got destroyed. They didn't last, and they worshipped the golden calf. The second Luchos were given quietly, Yom Kippur, Moshe brought them down, no fanfare, no trumpets, no thunders and lightning, and everything worked just fine. Sometimes when you introduce these things without all of the public spectacle, they can work. And I think Rabbi Riskin, for example, recently in Nefrat, appointed a woman, and her name just escapes me right now, you may know who she is, as being basically a posek, a senior halachic figure, to be able to paskin in areas of her expertise. And to my knowledge, this has not created the same kind of negativity as we saw with Rabbi Weiss's business a few years ago. And the question is why, and I hope to show you that as we go through. Okay, let's take it one by one. Women and smicha. So, first of all, women were not eligible for the original smicha. The original smicha that came from Moshe Rabbeinu through the generations, according to most poskim, a woman would not be eligible for that. Why? Because in order to be on the Beis Din HaGadol of the Sanhedrin, you had to be a dayan. It was a dayanut. it was a judging role. And as we'll see, women are, according to the majority opinion, not halachically allowed to be dayanot. We'll deal with that in just a minute. So the original smicha, which we don't have anymore today, almost certainly could not involve women unless you change the psak on whether a woman is allowed to be a dayanet, which we'll see in a minute. But the smicha we have today is not that smicha at all. Look at number two. So number one in the Rambam is just talking about the original smicha and its role in dayanut. Number two is inyan asmicha shenagu bizman hazeh, says the Rambam, the smicha we have today is not at all like the original smicha. What is it? It's kidei sheyedu kol ha'am, so that the people will know shehigia lahora, that the person is capable. It's simply a certificate of capability. Umash shemayra, and that what they're teaching hubrishus rabbi is with permission from their rav, because it's a separate issue. You're not allowed to give psak halacha if you're a posik, if your rav is still alive, unless you have his permission. So the smicha basically says two things. It says from the rav, I give you permission to paskin even though I'm still around, and I'm telling the public that you're capable. The original smicha that we have, modern day smicha, came in the Middle Ages, as I think I mentioned, after the Black Death, when there were so many people killed in the 1300s that there was a shortage of rabbis, and people were beginning to be appointed as poskim for towns who were not capable. So they said, this is ridiculous. We have to have some basic qualifications to be a rabbi. So they introduced the kind of certificate in order to show that you're a rabbi. That is not the original smicha. That is just a certificate of capability. Or lechein, in kfar meis rabbi, therefore your rabbi has already died, in the terech smicha. It's fine. Could a woman therefore have a modern day smicha? Again, not to become a rabbi, but a smicha as in permission to paskin halacha. Well, it seems to have nothing to do with dayanut as such, it's just to do with capability. So we'll see if a woman is capable in the area of expertise that we're talking about. There is no reason, according to it seems, this alone, of course, if there are massive hashkafic issues involved in these things as well, but there's no reason technically why this couldn't apply. Yes?
What do you mean by being a rabbi? Because when people get smicha, they get the title of rabbi.
Well, yes and no.
Community leader, we could be community.
That's not true. First of all, people get called rabbi before they have a smicha. Many people are called rabbi this and rabbi that, and they never technically got a smicha. You can be a godel hador and you never got a smicha, technically. Similarly, people who do get smichas, it doesn't make them poskim necessary. The smicha that we have, that I'm talking about here, is a certification that you are qualified in a certain area of halacha to pass on other people's shilas.
So you wouldn't get a title with that?
No. I know people with, many people with smicha that don't call themselves rabbi. And people with smicha who are lawyers, and many people who are rabbis that don't have smicha.
Then what do you mean by somebody who, you can't have a woman rabbi?
So we talked about this just before you came in, that the title rabbi today means much more than just psak halacha. It means a whole communal leadership issue. It involved the sum of the title rabbi is more than the individual parts. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I'm not getting into the whole rabbi debate, because I think it's got a lot of the connotations we don't need to talk about. So, are women allowed to be dayanot? We'll come back to the smicha psak issue soon. So basically, there is, to cut a long story short, a connection between Eidos and Dayanus, according to most people. Look at number three. Says the Gemara, Mishnah actually, Shpursa Eidos Nagis by Nashim Velo Benashim. The women are not allowed to make give Eidos in court. Women, by the way, are allowed and frequently do give Eidos on other areas. For example, Eid Echad Neman Beisurin. The idea that if you don't know whether the food is kosher or not, or whether the sukkah is kosher or not, or whether the talis or the tzitzit is kosher, a woman is able to give edus that something is kosher, for sure, which is doraisas. It's only certain court proceedings that women are excluded from the process of edus. Why is that? So the Gemara brings a drosha. Minani nili, how do we know? The Tanu Rabbanim, the amdu shnei ha'anashim. It says the word anashim in the Chumash, it didn't need to say anything. It could have said the amdu shnaim, two got up. It doesn't say that. It says two men, and the Chazal dash in there, men and not women. Now, I had this discussion with Joy before, and she raised an excellent question, which is, like, why did Chazal make that drosha? They could have dashed, and Anashim means everybody. Sometimes Anashim means everybody. Sometimes it means just men. Just like Beneichem sometimes means just sons, and sometimes it means all children. So, that's a good question, and at the end of the day, we don't know the reasons behind most of the droshas of Chazal. Sometimes they made a drosha and they gave a reason. We're making this halacha because of this. Usually it's more of a gezeira. Usually gezeiras and takanas come together, or often come together, with a specific reason. For example, they're saying, you know, Chalav Yisrael is a gezeira in case people come to drink milk which is adulterated. Yet, you know the gezeira, you know the reason. Maybe you can apply it and change it. When it comes to droshas, we don't really know where Chazal made droshas. you know, they interpreted the Pesukim in a certain way based on their, you know, expertise and they're qualified to do that, etc. At the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference to the validity of the law whether you know the reason or not, because the drosha stands on Chazal's qualifications to make it, which we talked about at the beginning of the year, and the whole issue of the Rabbonons and what is the basis of rabbinic authority. But they made a drosha, and women are not included in the drosha. Fine, so look at number four, Shulchan Aruch rules, Isha Psula Ladun. A woman is not allowed to be a dayan either. What's the connection? Number five explains that Isha Psula Ladun, Yafina La Mi Eidos, there's a connection between Eidos and Dayanut. Just like women are not allowed to be Eidim, they're allowed to be Dayanut. The Sefer Achinuch brings down that position. It says here, don't ask about Dvorah. We'll come back to Dvorah a lot soon. Don't ask about Dvorah. It says that he shachta it Israel. Bless you. She judged Israel. Okay. Sounds like she's a Dayanit. If not, what does the word shofet mean? It says, no. Shev shalana letaritz. You could answer that she's not dafka a judge. Shalai haya hadin nechtach alpia. She wasn't the actual decider of the judgment. Aval haita isha chachama. On the contrary, what she was actually a very wise, learned woman, Unaviya, and she was a prophetess. We'll see that's important too. And people would consult with her on halachic. She was a halachic consultant. Meaning the Dayanim would consult with her to advise them as to how to pask and says the chinuch. But she wasn't the actual poetic. She wasn't the actual Dayan. Ulachain, therefore, kasavaleya v'hishavtai tisrael. The word shofet, by the way, is an unclear word. There were shoftim who were Talmid Chachamim in the Sefer Shoftim, there were shoftim who were Amoratzim. Yiftach was not a Talmid Chacham. Shofet could mean leader, it could mean all sorts of things. Therefore, he says, you don't have to say that Dvorah was Dafka a Dayanit, which would fit then with the mainstream approach in the Pesukim. Aval, look underlined here. Aval, Adad, Ksat, Minam, Aparashim, and this is a Tosfos. I was just talking to Rabbi Katz about this with Barry. There's a Tosfos that says, no, not necessarily. There could be no link between Eidut, technically, and Dayanut. Actually, there is a minority opinion. It is a minority opinion. The women are kosher to be Dayanim. Even though they're not allowed to be Eidim, they are allowed to be Dayanim. And they bring a raya from Devorah that seems, as some of you said to me before, it seems poshut. She was a shofetet. She was a judge. It says that in Shoftim, and therefore it seems she was a judge. Umashia Amru b'Sanhedrin. When it says in Sanhedrin, the Kol She'ena makes the link between Eidus and Dayanus, then for technical reasons, they say that link is not necessarily true, or not necessarily proven. But at the end, he says, I actually go with the position, which is the mainstream position, which is that women are not allowed to be Dayanot, just like they're not allowed to give Eidus. By the way, this is going to raise an important point that we need to talk about in a separate shir, which Be'ezrat Hashem we will, which is, when is it legitimate to bring in minority opinions to make a change in the halacha? We haven't really talked about this, although I did give a shir, I did sub for Rabbi Katz's Torah Messina class earlier in the year, and I gave a shir there, but maybe I'll give it again in this class. So we'll see, and I want to show you there are different kinds of halacha, meaning, some things come straight out of the Pesukim. The drashas, the chazal made in the Pesukim. So, okay, you can't change those. Some things come directly out of the Pesukim, out of the mitzvahs. So it says pork is not kosher, you can't make it kosher, fine. Some things come out of drashas, where chazal made certain analysis of the Pesukim. And the question is, can we change chazal's analysis? So again, the answer to that is no, until we get a new Sanhedrin, and then we can talk about it again. Okay, but there are other things which are less cut and dry. For example, let's say there is a halachic consensus based on the way that we understand the shas. We can't unpick the shas. There is such a thing as chasimas hashas. The Gemara has been sealed. And therefore, until we get a new Sanhedrin, we can't reopen the Gemara. But even within the shas, there is often a debate. There's a debate. There are majority opinions. There are minority opinions. Within the Rishonim, there are debates as to which opinion we follow. What happens if there is a halachic consensus through the last 800 years, 1,000 years, that we follow this opinion, and there are minority opinions that say, no, actually, it could be this. Do we have the right today to adopt a minority opinion because of changed circumstances and say, look, God forbid, we're not trying to reopen the Torah. We're not trying to reopen the Shas. We're just saying that there is another opinion. Maybe we can rely on that opinion today because the situation that we find ourselves in requires us to rely on that opinion. Or do we say, no, there's a consensus, the consensus is the consensus, and there is no other way around it?
We talked about that.
A little bit.
We did, and we said one of the reasons why they might have left minority opinions in there was that we would have an option of holding by them.
Absolutely. And another reason why we see minority opinions is so that you know this was a minority opinion, it was rejected by the majority, and don't come and bring it up again because you see it's already been decided, not like that. So how do you know whether you can go for these minority opinions? And one of the things that I think are the confusions that that set into a lot of the debate today, especially on women's issues, because women's issues like this and others are really the cutting edge of people's attitude towards Torah Shabbat Peh, I think, in a lot of places out there. Women, people are less bothered by other issues and more bothered by these. And what you often see people do is stitch together lots of minority opinions. Well, you can find an opinion that says, you can call women up for an aliyah, and you can this opinion, that opinion, the other opinion, put them together, and we can make a new set. The question is that valid or not? And it may be, but the real issue is who has the right to decide that? Who has the right to focus a halachic consensus in another direction, such as what happened with women's learning, teaching women Torah en masse, which was clearly held to be osa, like a majority opinion, all the way through to the 20th century. And then in the 20th century, it was moved to another position, and now women are taught Torah en masse. That was clearly a change of halakhic consensus. Who changed that?
Chofetz
Chaim, the Ger Rebbe, Sarah Schneer lobbied for it. She didn't change it, because she's not a posek. Yeah, but other poskim did. So what about today? Why can't we change certain things today? Let's take this opinion. Women cannot be dayanim. According to one shita, they can. So can we turn around and say, okay, fine, let's now follow Tosfos that they can, even though the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is not like that. That is a meta-halachic question. And a lot of people get confused about that kind of issue because they say, oh, look, I've read the sources. Women's partnership in Yanim. Okay? You go to a partnership minyan. What does the partnership minion do? It says, look, we're going to have a mechitza. We're not taking down the mechitza, because the mechitza is midina de Gemara. And we're not trying to argue with the Gemara. But what we're going to have women called up for aliyahs, and you can make a case for that, based on different opinions. We're going to have women saying certain parts of the davening, and you can make a case for that, based on certain opinions. You know, it's not called Isha, and that she doesn't have to be Motzi the man, etc., etc. And we're going to create a minion whereby there is a lot of things that are happening that didn't used to happen and don't happen anywhere else. Is that legit or is that not legit? Because they'll show you, look, there's 50 pages of argued sources based on this opinion, this opinion, this opinion, this opinion. That you can do this, this, and this. So what makes that legitimate? Oh, so that's the thing. At the end of the day, if you're trying to change a halakhic consensus based on a new analysis of the halakhic sources, without reopening the Shas or the Chumash, you need a senior posek, at least one senior posek to do that. Even if the whole world disagrees with you, but you say, I follow this senior posek, you can turn around and say, you know something? He's a big gun, he says you can do this, I'm going with that. You don't need the whole world to agree with you. Okay? But if no senior posek says you can do this, then what are you basing it on? And I've had this argument, and we're not talking about partnership minyan specifically, but I've had this argument with very knowledgeable people around my Shabbos table, including one person that came a few months ago, and I have a lot of respect for her. She's someone we know in our local community, and she's very in favor of partnership minyan, very in favor. And I said to her, look, I understand she's giving me all the sources, and she's a very learned person. And I said, but who is the senior posek that says this is acceptable? What about Rav Henkin? Rav Henkin, who is a very senior Talmud Chacham, who is probably the most sympathetic and understanding and focused on the need to move the women's agenda forward. You know who Rav Henkin is? Very important person in these areas, who's come out with a lot of very radical psakim in other areas. He clearly states partnership minyanim are completely anti-halachic. He says any minion that any community that has this cannot be called orthodox, or if it is, it won't remain orthodox for long. You see what he writes. So I said to her, look, Rav Henkin is the one that would have been the supporter, so who's the supporter? So when push came to shove, you know what she said to me? She said to me, you know something? We don't need post-gim anymore. We can decide these things for ourselves. Oh, I said to her, that's the real issue.
Yeah.
That's the real issue. Meaning, She said people are much more knowledgeable these days. They don't need rabbinic approval. They can read the sources and come to their own conclusions. That is totally illegitimate as part of the halachic process. How can you do that? How can you have halachic psak decided by people who are not qualified? She thinks she's qualified because she's read around and she's highly intelligent, but she's not. She's not qualified. And yet she says, I don't care. That's the ultimate thing. And at the end of the day, all the partnership in Yanim are based on the psak of Mobidi. The Rav what? If he, one second. Is he one of the leading poskim? I'm talking about someone who represents a whole community as the leading poskim of that community. What makes someone a poskim is a good question. You know, there's always going to be guys very knowledgeable guys with smicha, with this and with that, who say this is okay or that's okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who is he's pulling the course of halachic psak from place A to place B. You need to be a big gun to do that. You need to be a big person. You know, Rav Soloveitchik was a big person.
We have so many of them?
Yeah, we have some of them. We have the leaders of the communities of different kinds. And when one of these people, who is acknowledged to be one of these people, turns around and says, you know something, this is what we should do. Okay?
What, you would accept it then?
I might not be part of his Eida. I might not be part of his community, but if a leading person said to me, if Rav Herschel Schechter in YU turned around and said, you know something, for our communities this is acceptable. I mean, how can you argue with that? You can say, I'm not part of your community, I'm not going to do that, but you can't sit around and say it's not legitimate because a senior policy has said it's legitimate.
Well, don't you think that's going to be
it? Maybe. And again, I wouldn't tell you that women, the partnership minyan will never be acceptable. Maybe they will be. Maybe they will be.
Well, which senior rabbi is going to accept that?
I don't know.
And how senior is he if he's going to accept?
No, I don't agree with you there. Because actually the shift in halachic consensus to allow partnership in Yanim is not much bigger, if at all bigger, than the shift to allow women's learning and teaching. And if that can happen, then this can happen. But the point is, who's going to make that decision? And at the end of the day, it's based on the idea that the senior poskim have the hands on the rein. I don't like it when big rabbis tell me what to do because I don't think they understand me. Okay, that's a bigger problem, which has got nothing to do with partnership in Yanim. Yeah?
But it changes, like, by the time that we're adults and we're 40 and 50 and choosing communities that's, like, you know, later in our life, this giant poskim are going to be completely different. They're going to be people either that we ourselves studied under or people that we're contemporaries with.
That's why.
Who's to say what those people will decide?
Good, absolutely. That's why you go to the poskim in your day. By the time you're 40 and 50, I have no doubt at all that some of these issues will have moved from place A to place B. And totally legitimate within the halachic system. Okay, there'll still be people that say you can't change halacha at all. That's not true. We all know that's not true. And we all know that halacha develops in certain ways within the halachic system. So just keep your eye on the ball for that. Because if what's going on is people saying, I don't need a posek, then fine, goodbye, you know, nothing to talk about because that's not legit. Someone's saying, I have a posek, and he says this, but you'd have a different.
So really with all these issues, it's not even a matter of yes or no, it's just a matter of waiting 50
years. Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe you'll wait 1,000 years and it'll never happen. Maybe you will. I don't know. What it isn't a matter of is just kind of nudging the rabbis until they give in. There are people, Blue Greenberg came out with a very famous line many decades ago. You know Blue Greenberg? Blue Greenberg is she's older now. She was a very important woman in Jofa in the early days. You know what Jofa is? Jewish Orthodox Feminist Alliance, which is, you know, pushing in many ways for halachic change in certain areas. Now, she came up with the line, where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. Meaning, the halacha is not the problem. What's the problem?
The rabbis.
The rabbis are just unwilling to change. Why? Because they're rooted in social norms and this and the old, whatever it is. And if you just nudge at them long enough, they'll give way. Now that's not true, because you have to differentiate between different halachic areas. You can nudge the rabbis as long as you like. Pork will always betray. Okay? When it comes to senior poskim, can you lobby senior poskim for halachic change? For sure. That's what Sarah Schneer did. But they'll make that decision.
But she had a legitimate reason, though.
She thought she did. Most of the Jewish world thought she was nuts.
No, but I'm saying without her, though, Jewish... I'm saying without partnership minyan and Judy, like, halachic Torah life will still go on. I'm saying without... without Jewish.
That's your analysis. That's your analysis. Other people may take the view that there are, I'm just playing devil's advocate, that there are many deeply disenfranchised, unhappy Jewish women that don't find a place in the synagogue, that feel the synagogue is a male-oriented place that they're excluded from or allowed into. You know, I'm, this is not my position necessarily. And therefore, partnership in Yonim will re-enfranchise, re-bring... You could make that argument.
Well, you don't need educated women to keep a religion alive. Look at Muslim women. The majority of Muslim women are not fully educated on the Quran, and there's like 3 billion of them. You do not need educated women to keep a religion.
No, but we.
Anyway, I don't want to. That's a separate debate, and I want to move on. Yes.
Just to also play devil's advocate, could you say that Ma being a rabbi is not his decision really? That he's not really the one making the decision because he's being influenced.
No, because rabbis have to be in touch with the community. I don't think someone can get in. Rabbis have to be in touch with the community. And if the rabbi has to understand what the community needs, then it's very important for the senior poskim to be told by the community, this is where the community is holding. I'll give you a proof of that. It says explicitly in the rules of what Chazal could and couldn't do, is before they introduced any new din, of course this was Chazal, it's different, but they have to first work out whether the people were ready to accept it. And if the people weren't, they weren't allowed to bring it in. So the people's needs are very critical. And therefore, senior poskim have to be in touch with what's going on in the world. And they are. And therefore, I don't think there's anything wrong, like Sarah Schneer, with lobbying and nudging and saying, this needs to be a change. And then if the change happens, it happens. Now, by the way, there's another area of halachic change which is less problematic still, which is, let's say there is no consensus in halacha. It's just that we never did this before. This never happened before. Meaning, it's not like I'm going against a psak in the poskim. For example, women wearing tefillin is a halachic consensus. It's clear from the Achronim and many of the Rishonim, women should not wear tefillin. Now, can you make a case that women can wear tefillin? Yes, you can. Sure. You can make that case. You can bring proof from here and there. That's a change in consensus like we're talking about. But bat mitzvah, there's no halachic consensus that bat mitzvah is a problem. We just never did it before. So could you start doing it? So that's a different question. I'm not trying to change anything. I'm just trying to, in halacha, I'm just trying to do something we never did before. Should we have the Sefer Torah going around the women's side of the mechitza as well as the men's side of the mechitza? There's no like halachic consensus against that I'm having to uproot. It's just like, well, okay, that never happened before, so should it happen now? That's a different kind of question. So before you ever get into any analysis of, you know, should the halacha change, can the halacha change, first in your own mind put it into the right box. Is it something within the Chumash? Okay, nothing we can do. Is it something in Chazal? Nothing we can do until there's a new Sanhedrin here. Maybe we can talk then. Is it something which is a halakhic consensus after the Gemara? Okay, who decides? And is it something which is just like no halakhic issue, just we never did it before? And different rules will apply each time. I find there's a lot of confusion in people's minds when they deal with this. They throw it all into one big pot. Now, let's look at women poskim. I think the women poskim falls into the last category, meaning, it's not that there's any halachic consensus that it's not allowed and we're trying to change it. It's just we never had it before. Why? Because women were not educated to this degree before. And on the contrary, actually, if you look at the halachic sources, there are, it's clear that the consensus is that women are allowed to be poskim. So actually bringing in women poskim is not trying to reverse the halachic consensus. It's going with the halachic consensus. There may be hashkafa overtones. Like, do you want women to be pushed to the front of the community? What does that say about women's roles, quotes and quotes? But that's a different kind of discussion which will depend on your community. You know, are you allowed to have a woman stand up at the front of the community and give a drosha in shul? Yes or no? So that's not really a halachic issue. You're going to tell me Tilcha sneers? Very hard to say that. Unless the community, clearly women don't have a central role, public role, it's more a hashkafa issue, which is important, but nevertheless will depend on the community. Let's have a look at women poskim. Devora, number 7. Devora ish neviyah, she was a neviyah, eshet lapidot, the wife of lapidot, he shoftat et Yisrael be'etai. She was a shofetet. What does that mean, she was a shofetet? So we already saw the chinuch suggest that it doesn't mean she was a judge, it means she was a halakhic advisor. Okay, she was a halakhic advisor. So what does that make her? It makes her a poisek. She's not a dayan, but she's someone who is giving halakhic advice. Number 8, look at what Tosfos says. Ein raya de isha kasher ledum. You can't bring me a raya that she's allowed to be a dayanet. The shemaloi hayata dana. Maybe she wasn't a dayan, says Tosfos. Ela hayata melamedet lahem hadinim. So that's not quite a poisek, but what does it mean, melamedet hadinim? She was a halacha teacher. But who did she teach? Look at number 9. Says Tosafos, the Vora loy hai tadana ela melamedet lahen sheyadunu. So who is she teaching?
The other women who
were judged. Not the women. Okay, you're right, but lahen, in Mishnah Hebrew, there's the nun can be a mem as well. She taught the judges how to paskin. Meaning, she wasn't technically a dayanit, says Tosafos, but she was the halachic support behind the dayanim who made the decisions. So what does that make her? I mean, she's not technically a posek, but she's a senior halachic figure. What's the matter, Nadim? You don't like it? Why not? What's the matter?
They came for her to answer the
questions.
It says that.
Yeah, go back. It says
that
he said
it's like a spot. Like, meaning, like, that's not. It doesn't say, like, that. It doesn't say that they came to her for teaching or for advice. It says they came to her for judgment.
Again, the word shofet in Sefer Shoftim is not a clear word. There are shoftim who were judges, there are shoftim who were leaders, there are shoftim who were tamidei chachamim, who those who weren't. I understand what you're saying. Poshut pshat seems to be that she was a shofetet. Okay.
Fine, whatever. But, like, also, even if you're going to say that she's, like, teaching them how to judge, she's teaching them how to paskin, like...
Yeah, that makes a very like serious halachic person.
I mean, she shouldn't, like judge herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she can't, for technical reasons, based on the psukim, be a judge. Okay. So she's not qualified based on the drosha, edus, dayanus, but she's seen a halachic person. I'm bringing this now as a positive, not as a negative for Dvora, to show that we'll see that the post can take it for granted that a woman who is qualified to be a senior halachic advisor is able to be a poseket. What's the matter? Again, I just told you that. It's based on a drosha. A drosha is a drosha. You don't agree with a drosha, so go, you know, you have to have this new Sanhedrin to undo the drosha. Why is it that women v'limaritim atam it's b'neichem? B'neichem v'loy b'nateichem. You like that? You don't like that? Okay, you know, it's a drosha. That's the way that it works. Chazal said this is what it means. So, you could say that there is no link between Adas and Dionys, like the minority opinion says, okay. But you can't deny the drosha. We're stuck with the drosha.
Is this the source for those who can't do teach?
That's nice. Maybe. But you'll see that what I think it is the source for is that women are allowed to paskin halacha. This is not my chiddush. Look now, number 10. An oven, says the Gemara. A Tosefta, actually. A tanur. Me'ematai taharata. When does an oven become tahor? It's not talking about kashrus, it's talking about tahor, tumah, and tahara. If you have a clay, an earthenware oven that becomes tahor, that becomes tameh, excuse me, you have to smash it and then remake it. How smashed does it need to be in order to gain its tahara? Amarav chalafta, ish kfar chananya, ani sha'alti et Shimon ben Chananya. I asked this question to Shimon ben Chananya. She sha'al et benosha Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion. He asked the son of Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion. Okay. The Amar who said, Mishi yisianu mimakoma. When you move it, you have to physically uproot it and move it from place to place. That is enough to call it broken, and then it will become tahor again. Ubitoi, but Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion's daughter, Omerit, she says, When you just take it apart. You don't have to move it. You just have to take it apart and put it together again. When this machloikas between the son and the daughter of Rabbi Chananya ben Tzrodion was related to Rabbi Chananya Yehuda ben Bava, Amma, what did he say? Yafa am rabita mi b'noi. Meaning what? She's right. He's wrong. Now, this is a machloikas between who and who. Who was the daughter? Who's the daughter? You know who the daughter of Chananya ben Taradion is? Bruria. That's right. She is Bruria, the famous Bruria. And Bruria is having machloikas with her brother. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says Bruria is right and the brother is wrong. The brother's the Tana. He's one of the Tanaim. Look in number 11. This is from the Shalas and Shuvas Binyan in Zay from the early Achron. The Ashkechem we find, he says, the Ishan is carried. But Brisa women are mentioned, or at least a woman. Is mentioned in the Brisa. The Choleketim Atanaim. She disagrees with the Tanaim. The Hichri Chachamim B'Divra. And the Chachamim agreed with her. The Maseches Kalim B'Tosefta. He quotes this Tosefta. She Nimsa B'Talmud. We see in the Talmud, therefore, Isha B'Gvul HaTanaim. Her woman is one of the Tanaim. Choleket. She's arguing. Kedin Tana. B'Hoidu L'Divra. She argues as a Tana, and we pass it like her. Now, why aren't there more women like Bruria mentioned amongst the Tanaim?
They weren't educated.
They weren't educated.
It's not a riot that there was only one. There's only one Bruria. Okay, fine. She was especially educated. She was especially talented. Her father, her husband, Rebbe Meir. She was married to Rebbe Meir.
Then how come more women weren't taught by their fathers?
Good. Because Rabbi Eliezer turns around and says, "Kol Shem Alamed is Bitoy Torah Ki Imalam the Tiflus."
Then why did he teach
the Bruria? Oh, because you see, the Mepharshim turn around and bring Bruria as an example that says that Rabbi Eliezer's rule was for most women because most women were uneducated. We'll get to that in Rambam in a few minutes, and therefore you can't teach women because they're likely not to be educated enough to do it right. But Bruria clearly was super talented and super educated.
Makes sense. Women aren't educated. Therefore, they are dumb. So the solution is to continue to not educate them.
No, you have to understand. Joy, the solution is to change the entire system, which was not feasible or practical or doable in that society, but was today, and therefore it was.
The solution to uneducated women is education.
You're right, but you're talking like a 21st century person, which that statement
that's
would have been...
That,
no, no.
Not 21st century.
You have to
and
get out...
Teachers.
Joy, you're right, and I agree with you, but you have to be able to break out of your social construct and understand times, other times than now. It's not possible to turn around and say, you might turn around and say, the solution to the fact that there's the rich and the poor is to distribute the wealth more evenly. Well, you try to tell that to people living in a feudal society, where that's just not even a thinkable thing. Now, to you as a modern person, that makes sense, doesn't it? If there are people the rich and people the poor, then just try and, you know, make it... But it's women were just not, as a society, able to involve in education. Even men didn't get involved in education. You reached the age of 12, you got married, and you had a job.
No, but if
you brought kids, you had kids, how could you... when are you going to educate
people? No, that's not the question. The question is, it says if a man teaches his daughter, he's wasting his time.
Yes.
Right? If a man says, I want to teach my daughter, so that she won't be... uneducated.
He's able to do that.
And they say to them, you're wasting your time because she's uneducated.
No, it's not circular. What it's saying, we'll see the Rambam in a minute. You'll see the Rambam says very clearly the reason why Rabbi Eliezer said you shouldn't teach women is because most women won't be able to take that education to a place where it'll be effective. Yeah. Which is true. But if you have an individual, Abby, just give me a refill please. If you have an individual who can, then she did. What I'm showing you here is in principle, Bruria was a talent. Okay, Bruria argues, Bruria wins. Look at the Sefer Chinuch, number 12. It's quite a famous Sefer Chinuch. He's talking about the issa of paskining halacha when you're drunk or have drunk wine. The noyeg issa bias migdash, coming the mitzvah being coming into the migdash, b'shichros when you're drunk, applies b'zmanabayis b'zcharim and kavus. Obviously for men and women. Men and women are not allowed to go to the migdash when they're drunk. You know, Chana, Eli, the whole thing there. Umenias hora. And not paskining, b'chol makam, applies the idea of not paskining if you're drunk, applies in all places. B'chol zman, under all times, b'secharim, for men, paskin halacha, v'chein b'isha chachama lahoira, haru'i lahoira. Also for a woman, who is educated, who's capable of paskining. The Sefer HaChinuch takes it as being, the same Sefer HaChinuch that clearly before said, women cannot be dayanim, takes it as absolutely standard, that of course if a woman is qualified, she can be a chachama. She can be a posek. This is talking about poskim. A posek is not allowed to paskin alcohol. You see from here two things. That women can be poskim, and that women can drink alcohol. Although, he's not trying to paskin that women should drink alcohol. I'm just being a bit flippant. But I'm saying that if a woman who is a poseket, who's capable, drinks alcohol, she's not allowed to be a poseket. No, a poseket and a teacher. This is not talking about a limud. This is talking about psak. It's a woman who is a poseket. And haram means psak. It doesn't mean teaching. Hora means psak. Yes, absolutely. She passed into the Tosefta and we follow.
Is
Hora the
Psak?
It's not the same word, but it may, you know. Yeah, to make a decision.
She's giving advice and then they bring it to another rabbi and that rabbi says this is halal.
Like that happens all over the Brises. That this rabbi said this, this rabbi said this, and they ended up following this. That's just the way that the Brisa is structured. Have a look at the modern day Achronim on this. Look in number 13. The Minchas Chinuch. I'm going to do this quite quickly because I've got a lot to say and there's only 15, 16 minutes. Afilu chachamim katanim mitzdarifim leroi. What happens if you're trying to get a majority? So even smaller people add to the majority. Even lower level chachamim. In other words, to make a majority, a psak, you don't have to have just the top people. Imhem chachamim, as long as they're chachamim. Al yistakel bakanton. Don't look at the bottle, look at the wine. Meaning you could have a young guy who's very talented, he counts as a chacham. So too women. chachmaniot, who are wise, who are trained, k'moy b'ayra, sheshafetet is Yisrael. It says, v'chein ve'ezer din haba v'tzarech beisin, if a certain psak needs a beisin, tzarechim beisin kosher, or it needs a kosher beisin, which will exclude women, if women can't be dayanim. See what we said before. Avalet le'inyin machloikas, but if there's a machloikas in psak, and you're just taking different opinions of poiskim, based on a certain matter, ancient chiluk, there's no distinction between any of these things, between young people, old people, men, women. Rak mishehu chacham chashvin and dasoi. Very interesting words. Whoever is wise, that applies. Their view is relevant. Yeah, mishegi, I don't care who they are. Chay near poshet. Seems obvious to me. Poshet. See that if a woman is qualified, he says, then of course her view is valid as a poisek, just like everybody else. Look at the Bircha Yosef. This is by the Chida, one of the most important poskim of the 18th century. After Isha Psula Ladon, even though a woman is not allowed to be a Dayanet, they call Makam Isha Chachama Yichola Lahoros Hora'a. It's very clear. It's not talking about Limud. It's not talking about a woman's allowed to be a teacher. A woman's allowed to pass in Halacha. And he brings from Tosfos, the Dvar HaHaisam Alamedet, Lehem Dinim, etc., etc. And he brings from the Sefer HaChinuch. Again, very clearly, the Chida Paskins, one second, the woman is allowed to be a posekid. Look at number 15 for a second, Pisgei Tshuva, one of the major poskim of the 18th century, 19th century. Because of the Sefer Brik Yosef, he quotes the Brik Yosef. Posekid. But after Isha Psula Ladun, he quotes the same thing. This is the commentary of Shulchan Aruch. Even though women are not allowed to be a dayan, Mikol Makam Isha Chachama Yichola Lahorot Hora'ah. A woman is allowed to be a Moira Hora'ah, and that is the psak of all of these posts that we've seen so far. Yeah, you had a question.
It's looking
question three, why is such an issue? It's an issue. The issue has been so far, either there's an issue of women rabbis, which is a bigger question, or it's just that women haven't been qualified. We are only now, in the last 5 years, moving into a time when there are women. Look at the people in your school. Look at the women teaching in your school. Look at people like Shana Sheikh and Atara Eyes. These women, there weren't those women 20 years ago. They didn't have that training. They didn't have that background. They didn't have that learning. That's why it's new. That's why it's become. And is it a big issue? I don't think it is going to be such a big issue, actually. I think this will move in. Let me give you the other view. One second. I want to get through this because there's a lot to talk about. The Magen Avraham seems to say the other way. He brings this famous case of the preacher's mother. Look in number 16. Should women make a bracha on the candle lighting on Yom Tov the same way they do on Shabbos? Some of you learned this with someone. Who do you learn this with? With Rabbi Lerner. About the psak of they do it the other way. Look, have a look at number 16. The im tevarech. If a woman makes a bracha, kibla the Shabbat. She's makabel Shabbos. That's why on Shabbos she first lights the candles, then makes the bracha. Okay, she does the whole thing with the covering the eyes and the waving and all that. Well, the waving has nothing to do with it. The covering of the eyes is ke'ilu she didn't light. She makes oh now she did light. Fine. The im came with yontif. Therefore, on yontif, when a woman can, she's not makabel. She's makabel yontif, but you can light a candle on yontif as long as it's from an existing flame. So surely she should just now make the brocha normally and then light the candle from an existing flame. Have a match, stick it into an existing flame, and make the brocha and light the candle. What's the problem? Why shouldn't she do that? Even if she's makabel yontif, she can do that. So in came a yontif to varech, she should make a bracha, the achakach tadlik, and then light the candle. The kekos of the so sefer adrisha, okay, but Evan Ezer, b'shem imoi. He brings his mother, Rabbanit Bela, I think they called her. Rabbanit Bela was Bela, right? And he brings his mother. His mother was a Tamid Chacham, a Tamidat Chacham, and she paskin certain shilas, and he brings his mother's psak on this issue. Says the Magen Avraham, aval ein chochma leisha. But women don't have chochma. The lechacha chachamim, because the rabbis didn't distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore we can't have a woman coming in now making a logical distinction, saying you should do this, not this. That's not how it works. What's he quoting? Ein chochma leisha. So he's quoting a statement of Rebbe Eliezer. By the way, the same Rebbe Eliezer that said that you shouldn't teach your daughter's Torah. It says shalo isha chachama et Rebbe Eliezer. A wise woman asked Rebbe Eliezer.
Rebbe
Eliezer
married. Yeah. But he has a nice home life.
Don't get all psychological on me. I'm sure he had a highly intelligent wife. He just had a particular approach in halacha. Not everything is subjectifiable to people's personal life, you know. Maybe he had a shita like this. Maybe he actually believed this objectively. It says, Ma'acha shemase ha'egel. The woman asked him, since the chet ha'egel, shavim, people did the same ma'isa. Mipnei ma'ein misas and shaver. Why are their deaths not the same? Meaning, why do their different people have different kinds of deaths? Some died of a plague, some died of a sword, etc. Amala, he said to her, Ein chochma le'isha ela b'perech. Go away, he said to her. Well, the only chochma of a woman is in spinning. It's not a sensible question. Okay. So the Magen Avraham quotes this and says, I don't care what Rav Anit Bela says, women don't pasken halacha. He's pretty much the only voice that you see disagreeing with everybody else who's saying women can't pasken halacha, if they qualify. There are other poskim that say that, you know, rabbis who ask their wives to answer shilas are not doing the right thing. Well, yeah, because their wives are not rabbis. And therefore, you know, why are the wives answering the questions if they're not qualified? That's just an issue of qualification. But the Magen Avraham seems to be saying, on principle, we're not going to pasken because the woman pasken halacha. Look at Rav Avadia, number 18. He says here, came pasuk harav Rav Yuspa benosha laprisha b'shem imoy harabanit. He brings his halacha in the name of the rabbanit. The chaleg b'minhagam bein brocha the brikas neiros Shabbos the brikas neiros Yontif. The afal pisha had Magen Avraham kasav aleha she'en chochma l'isha ela b'pelech. Because even though the rabbanit Magen Avraham says there's no chochma in women other than spinning, we don't pasken like a woman. Says Rav Avadi mikol makam kvar hiskimu achroidim divrei harabanit. Interesting words. The Achronim have passed like the Rabbanit, not like the Magen Avraham. Shehi isha asher nasa liba b'chochma. She's a woman who was l'shem shamayim, qualified, knowledgeable, and why shouldn't she pass in a halacha? Rav Avadia says the halacha is like the Rabbanit, not like the Magen Avraham, and therefore the Magen Avraham's position on this seems to have been marginalized. And if you look in the 20th century poskim, I brought you six poskim. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, all 20th century poskim, all of whom say that a woman is allowed to be a poseket. Have a look in number 19. This is from the Mishpatei Uziel, Rav Ben-Tzion Uziel, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel, Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, alongside Rav Kook. He says, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. He says, at the end, he k'shera liyot shofetet. She's allowed to be a decisor, b'muvan shel moira, meaning moira hora'a u'mechokek, a lawgiver, a decider, a moira hora, a woman is allowed to be. This was 90 years ago. Okay, there was no women's liberation feminism movement. It's just halacha. A woman is allowed to be a poseket. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Okay, in the 1940s, 50s. Have a look at number 20. Hari kaimalan she'isha ru'uya l'horot hara'a. We pasken the woman can be a mora hara'a. V'lo chalke bein hara'a b'dvarim pshutim. It doesn't matter whether it's simple matters of psak, or kashim, or difficult matters of psak, or bein d'oraisa l'drabonon. Makes no difference whether it's d'oraisa d'rabonon. Im k'sheira hi l'hara'a. If she's able to give a judgment, I efshala hachli she'dasam dasam klisha. You can't turn around to me and say that women have a less intelligence, or less capability. The girl's all right? He says, you can't turn around and say to me that women have inherently less ability to deal with matters of halacha. I don't know, women learn differently. They don't have the brains for halacha. They don't have their attitude. They have bina, not chochma. Look, all of these things may be true to some degree hashkafically. I'm not getting into that. He says, but that's not relevant here. Clearly, if the poets can say that women can be poets God, then clearly in halacha there's no difference. They're able to come to halachic conclusions. Who said there's a big controversy? There's a big controversy about women rabbis, because rabbi means more than posek. But actually, I think when it comes to the sources...
So what type of yoetz halacha is that?
What's what? Yoetz halacha say very clearly they're not poskots.
But they could...
But they are effectively, and no. The truth is, Rabbi doesn't mean someone's married to a rabbi. The truth is, sometimes a rabbinate becomes like a rabbi, say the title, meaning it's the leader of the community on a certain level. The yoetzad halacha are usually deciding halachic things that are not technically psak for reasons that we talked about last time. If you rule on a question which is poshut in Shulchan Aruch, you know, a woman comes up to you and says to me, you know, which night should I go to the mikvah on the seventh night or the eighth night? And you say, seventh night. Yeah? You're not posek. It's like saying to someone how to make a cup of tea on Shabbos. A lot of the questions that Yoetzad Halacha are answering are straightforward Shulchan Aruch questions. You don't even need to be a posek for that. They're very clear to say they're not poskim, but even if they were
poskim... But they could be a person.
Yeah, I think they could be a posek. It seems probably they could. I had a conversation with one of the yotzot a few years ago. She said to me, a guy asked a very complicated question, and she said to him, look, I can answer your question, but you really need to go to your communal rav. And he said to her, I went to my communal rav. He told me to call you. Yeah, because at the end of the day, these women sometimes have a much more detailed training than certain community rabbis. Obviously, certain community rabbis are very big poskim on these issues. But not everybody has a detailed understanding of hilchos needed to the degree that the Yod and Halacha do. And therefore, they sent the person in question to her.
And why is there such a big controversy?
Because I think, again, you can never divorce this from the major hashkafic questions, which is, is women's role in a community on some level giving way to a egalitarian agenda? Meaning, egalitarianism is not compatible with Jewish hashkafic thought. I think that's pretty clear. We're not an egalitarian religion. If you're pushing women's role because you have an egalitarian agenda, then I think there's a big problem there, and that's not the Shem Shamayim. And therefore, people will turn around and say, well, women who are poskim, poskot, rather, it's coming from women's equality. Okay? They may feel that. Or they may feel that people will see it that way. Or that's not the direction we want to push Judaism to. But other people will turn around and say, you know something? That's not the halachic agenda. That's not the hashgrafic agenda, rather. These we're really not coming from an egalitarian agenda. These women really are qualified. There are many reasons why people say that women would be better halachic decisors than some men, because maybe there are women who would go to other women that won't go to men, which seems to be quite common these days, especially in certain areas of halacha. Maybe there'll be women who are disenfranchised who will become re-enfranchised with their halachic. Maybe more people will ask shilas than did before. I don't know. You can make these arguments, which are not egalitarian agendas at all. And therefore, even though this will be controversial, it's really for the hashkafic, not the halachic. Whereas partnership in yonim is a major halachic problem. That's what I'm telling you. It's not just a hashkafic issue. Where's the poiseg that says you can change the consensus on that? Here, what's the consensus? Look here, and look in number 23 for a second. Look, Rav Bakshi Doron. Look at what Rav Bakshi Doron says in number 21. Rav Bakshi Doron was a very senior Sephardi chief rabbi. And don't tell me the Sephardim have a different attitude towards women's involvement. That's not true. Okay, have a look what he says. Mikol Amor Anir She Isha V'Ger Yechonel L'Shamish Kemanigim. He says women can be leaders. Afilu Gedolei Hador. Gedolei Hador. Okay, Shikoyech Hanahagasam Mechayevet Et Asamchut. Because at the end of the day, it's coming from their qualification rather than their certain whether they're men or women. Isha V'Ger Yechonel L'Shamish Morei Horah. Women can be halachic decisors. Ulalame Torah, Psakim, they can give Torah, they can give Psak. Tafkidim, okay, Tafkidim, these roles, she'asamchut bahem nikbat lefi kishurei hamuamadim. It comes from their inherent qualification, meaning it's not because they're man or a woman, it's are they qualified in this area or not. Look at number 23, which is Halichas Beisa, which was written by Rav David Auerbach, who is the nephew of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Okay? Not coming from a religious Zionist, modern Orthodox perspective particularly. Who says number 23 is Poshet? Isha Chachama Habekiya Bahalacha Mutar La Lahorot. Aksula Hilmedidum. But she's not allowed to be a dime. Therefore, I want to put it to you girls that actually the halakhic consensus is very clear. That women are allowed to be poskot as long as they know what they're talking about. Which means they have to be trained. Like everybody.
But who decides? Like, you know that a man can give upset because he has smicha. Women don't get any form of smicha,
yeah.
So how do you know
that? Well, there may need to be smicha. There's nothing magic in smicha.
And by they allow people to
yes, no. And the man comes to you with a smicha and says, I have a smicha, that means nothing. You ask yourself, well, or you ask him, well, where's your smicha from? Who gave you a smicha? What does it say you can do? What areas have you learned? Meaning, I'm not going to go to some random man just because he says he has a smicha. A smicha is only, as good as the person who gave the smicha and what the smicha's in. So too, women will develop certification procedures. Are they going to call them smichas? Are they not going to call them smichas? That may be a certain degree of sensitivity to what other people are going to get upset about. But if a woman clearly has come from a place where she's learned, she's qualified, she knows what the halacha is and how to paskin it, then she'll have something else that qualifies her.
Do you think there's going to come a point where they give women some form of identificating title?
Rabbi Weiss wanted to create communal leadership under a maharat or a rabbah or something like that. I think that even though that may seem like semantics, it's not, for reasons that I'm going to tell you in just a minute. What I'm talking about, what Rav Riskin was trying to do, or is trying to do in Ephraim. Now, Rav Riskin is a controversial person himself, and he has no problem with being controversial. Okay? I'm not getting into all of that. Rav Riskin has done so many things for Klal Yisrael, which other people have even not even dreamed of, in terms of building organizations and I'm a bit biased because I know him and I learned in his yeshiva. But he is someone who's not afraid of criticism. I think he said that very clearly. And I personally don't agree with everything he ever said or did, but that's not the point. But he's very much into trying to involve women in this way. I just want to make one last point. I brought you in 24 and 25 the two famous quotes from the Rambam. The first quote that says you shouldn't teach women Torah en masse because mipnei, in the bold, shiroiv, nashim, most women, ein da'atam mechuvenes lihlamed, most women are unable to learn properly because of their lack of education. And the parallel Rambam in number 25, which says that everybody is capable of mastering shas, including men and women. So never quote 24 without quoting 25. Meaning the Rambam's saying that the reality is that women are not educated. Therefore, you can't just completely change that reality overnight. Therefore, you can't teach women en masse. You can teach women individually if you know that they're particularly talented, like Bruria. Now, you and I know that the reality has changed. And it didn't just change overnight, by the way. It's taken hundreds of years. And it's still changing. My mother-in-law, who was highly educated and became the top in law school for her to be, won the prize for the top mark in the 1960s, was not allowed to receive the prize because it said in the prize that the man who had the highest mark got the prize. So the person who got the prize was the person who got the second highest mark, who was a man. And she who got the highest mark was a woman, she wasn't able to get the prize. It was only 40 years ago. Okay, 50 years ago. So things have changed very, very slowly, but they've changed. And therefore, the system that we find ourselves in now is a system full of highly educated women. So then you have to test that out. You have to know what people's agendas are. That is important. Sometimes women say, it's not fair, you never ask men what their agendas are. The answer is, well, they're not trying to change anything. If you're trying to change something, the agenda is important. And one of the problems that we're going to have, even with highly educated women, and this is an important point, is in order to be a Pesach, you have to come through the system of yeshiva. Pesachim are not created parallel and independent from yeshiva. They come out of the process of lomdus. Yeah, they come out through the yeshiva system. The women who are coming into the world of Psak are not yet coming through the yeshiva system. They're often coming through a more academic system. And the question is that legit? Does that give them the tools to be real poskot? Or do they need to come through a yeshiva system, in which case maybe that has to be something that's being created as well? Just one last word, and I'll take your question privately because I need to let you go. On the last page, on page 4, there's a separate analysis of women in communal leadership positions. There's a separate halachic shiloh, quite apart from being a poseket. Is a woman allowed to head up the community as the president of the shul, as the leader of the community, as the rabbi, quotes and quotes? And there is a separate issue, which is that there's a sack of the Rambam that says that any communal leadership position cannot be a woman, has to be a man. I brought you there what it's based on. There is a minority view within the poskim that says that that's not true, can be a woman. And the question is, can we rely on that minority? And this itself is changing. It didn't used to be the case that women were allowed to be the head of communities in the United Synagogue in London, in England. Now it is the case. The Beis Din changed that sack based on the minority opinion. How are they allowed to change it? Is it just a question of if you get at the rabbis long enough, you'll wear them down and they'll let you do things? Chas v'shalom. It's that there is a legitimate halachic debate. There's a majority and minority opinion, and at a certain point, senior poskim are allowed to say, we can follow the minority opinion for this reason. Not people making it up or just, nudging people until they give way. We'll talk about that another time. I haven't got time now, but that's part of the whole rabbi debate. I think the bottom line is that women poskim, as long as they can be trained properly through a halachic system, which is legitimate in terms of understanding halacha, and as long as people are l'shem shemaim and not coming in for equality-driven agendas, I think it's going to happen. I think it already has happened. And I don't think it'll attract great deal of controversy.